So settling into real time, and forming the intention to recognize that all experience arises in the present. Might be a thought about the future or a memory of the past, but it's always happening now. So that's the only slice you have to practice with, and the only slice that you need to. And one way to directly bring the mind into present tense is to incline the mind towards the recognition of physical sensation that's happening now. Oftentimes it's most clear that we're working with present tense experience by feeling sensations in the body, because they can only be known in real time. So let yourself find the body sitting. And you can incline the mind now to noticing if there are any places in the body where there's unnecessary tightness or tension. Or ways that you might want to change your posture now to support alertness and ease. Now let the awareness come to hearing. And I'm going to say a few things that are important for you to know that will help you a lot in your practice. The Buddha said that the way to establish mindfulness is to incline the mind to notice four dimensions of real-time experience. And we've talked about mindfulness of the body, the first foundation. And we've talked about mindfulness of the mind, citta, which is the third foundation, and have touched just a little bit on mindfulness of dhammas, the fourth foundation of mindfulness. But the second foundation of mindfulness, which we've talked about just a little bit, is very important, so I'm going to talk about that now in a way that I hope will benefit you and strengthen your practice. The second foundation of mindfulness is called mindfulness of vedana. And this word vedana is usually translated as feeling tone. Feeling tone. So this needs some explanation. this Vedana is actually a mental arising. So it's a subset of things that can arise in the mind. And the Buddha breaks it out because it's key. There's a whole teaching on dependent origination and the role of feeling tone in the mind becoming liberated or further enmeshed in suffering. So this feeling tone is the subjective experience that you have of something being pleasant or unpleasant or more neutral, sometimes described as neither pleasant nor unpleasant. So pleasant Vedana, unpleasant Vedana, neutral Vedana. And the understanding is that this quality of Vedana arises and is present with every kind of experience that you can have, whether that's a sense experience, seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling, or a mental experience, thoughts, emotions, memories, intentions. So anything that you experience has a concomitant or co-arising feeling tone. This feeling tone is very useful to notice because we're biologically set up to want to get rid of unpleasant Vedana and to hold on to or increase pleasant Vedana. And neutral Vedana, we tend to not notice at all because it's not interesting and it's not a problem. And yet most or much of our experience is more neutral. So in the absence of mindfulness, recognizing a strong experience of Vedana, or even a subtle experience of Vedana, with the arising of pleasant Vedana, the mind clings. It gloms onto that sensory experience or that mental experience and tries to keep it or extend it or improve upon it or hold it. It gets sticky. Craving is present. And in the presence of unpleasant Vedana, the mind wants to get away from it. It rebounds. It either will try to flee it or replace it with something pleasant or attack it or make it be different. And consider that that first of the two hindrances are sense desire or craving and aversion. And these arise in relationship to Vedana, which is not perceived with mindfulness. So the Buddha says this point where Vedana arises is very important because in the presence of mindfulness, strong mindfulness, the system doesn't take the ride into delusion. So if there's strong mindfulness and pleasant Vedana arises, the mind is much less likely to cling. And in the presence of unpleasantness, if there's mindfulness, the mind is much less likely to go into aversion. And in the presence of mindfulness with neutral vedana, the mind is more likely to be able to sustain connection with the experience. And not get lost or fall asleep or look around for something else to be happening. So I'll give a couple of examples and then ask you just to keep an eye out for vedana in the rest of the set. So, say you're sitting, and suddenly there arises a thought of lunch and what might be there for lunch. And the thought of lunch is pleasant. And the mind doesn't notice that there's pleasantness in the thought. And then there arises an image of what might be on the table that would be good. Maybe a tassahara meat nut loaf with mashed potatoes and gravy. And that's pleasant too. And the mind doesn't recognize it's enjoying this thought. And then there arises some more thoughts about food. And then maybe a thought of a meal that you'd like to have when you get home, when you can get it just the way you want it. And then thoughts of friends that you could meet for dinner and how much fun that would be. And then there arises loneliness in the mind. When the mind doesn't see the unpleasantness of loneliness because mindfulness has collapsed. And then there's discontent and the desire to escape. And a sense of frustration. And then some scheming about, oh, how could I get more contact with people here? Oh, maybe if I left a Hershey's kiss on somebody's shoe, you know. Or maybe, you know, maybe if I just checked my text messages this once. And of course, by this point, one has become completely disembodied and removed from the present tense immediate experience, generally speaking. But at a certain point, you realize, okay, I'm back. 15 minutes of unmindful fantasizing has occurred, but I'm back. And that return, I'm back, say, is accompanied by a sense of frustration, which is unpleasant, but the mind doesn't recognize the unpleasantness that's there. But it tries to hop right back on the breath in this state of frustration and agitation. Not seeing that there's actually a big fat hindrance in the mind. And then it's difficult to land on the breath or connect with it because the mind is unpleasantly agitated. So this quality of pleasantness or unpleasantness is the door to either getting lost in a hindrance or to sustaining awareness regardless of the feeling tone of what is arising. Either it shoots us off into hindrance land, or it's a bridge into awareness of the mind's inclination to fall into a hindrance. And if you're aware that the mind wants to go on a trip, or even that it does go on a trip, but there's mindfulness there with it, you've got the protection of mindfulness. You're still in the practice. There's still continuity there. So for the rest of the sit, you could incline the mind to notice the arising of this quality of pleasantness or unpleasantness, or neither pleasant nor unpleasant, this neutrality. And include it as a meditation object, which it is, an important one. Could name it or note it pleasant, or unpleasant, neutral. While it's the predominant experience, until something else replaces it. I wanted to say a couple of more things about Vedana. So there's a view that we tend to have unless we examine things closely, that Vedana is inherent in objects. So, and it's true that there are probably certain physical experiences that anybody with a normally operating human nervous system would find unpleasant. You know, if you accidentally shut your finger in a door or something, it's going to be unpleasant. And yet there's a lot of individual variation in terms of humans and what they tend to find pleasant or unpleasant in particular. So you can see this most easily around something like food, right? Sometimes you might say to a friend, oh, you should order this. You know, it's great. I love this. And maybe they follow your advice or take a sample of yours and they go, ooh, yuck. How can you like that? You know, that's... And another example of this is sexual orientation. You know, it's really about Vedana, where one finds pleasantness. It's not a moral issue. And some things that you could experience as pleasant sometimes, you might experience as neutral or unpleasant, right? Say there's a certain song that you tend to like when it, you know, comes on in the airport or something, you feel happy. And yet after you've been there 8 hours and you've heard it, you know, a dozen times, maybe you notice now it's not pleasant. So the Vedana is not inherent in that particular hearing necessarily. Or, for instance, an example of eating is, say you really like pumpkin pie. Got a lot of pumpkins here. Stimulating the thought. You really like pumpkin pie, right? The first slice is pleasant. The second slice is pleasant. The third slice is, right? The satisfaction kind of runs out. So we're biologically set up to pursue pleasantness and flee or attempt to not experience unpleasantness. So it's loosely linked to our survival, right? I mean, when we're born, we come out with, you know, we're something to suck on, right? And, you know, hopefully for mom, that's a pleasant experience too. And there can be a meeting of Vedana there. But we overgeneralize the pursuit of what's pleasant. And you can see it can lead to us being really led around by the nose in relationship to Vedana. So, you know, those of us who have struggled with addiction, and that would probably include all of us at some level, you know, whether it's in relationship to a habit or a substance or an experience or something. You know how this works, right? Maybe there's a first experience of pleasantness and the mind likes it. And it remembers, oh, this thing is pleasant. Where can I get some more of this? Or how can I do this again? Or make this happen again? So we set about scheming and repeating certain behaviors to secure that pleasantness. And then at a certain point, that habit has us captured. Where if we don't do that thing or have that thing, now we're experiencing unpleasantness. And that's not what we want. So we kind of double down on the habit, right? Double down on the habit. And, you know, we can get into very tight knots in relationship to this, where there can be the arising of some kind of unpleasant experience of body or mind, and we don't like the unpleasantness, we want to get rid of it. And so we cast about for something that would be pleasant, to paper it over. And the Buddha says the untrained mind, this is what it does. It doesn't have any other options other than when it encounters unpleasantness or pain, than to plaster something over it, to look around for sense desires and to sense pleasures and, you know, try to replace the unpleasantness with something that it can find that would have pleasant vedana. So addiction is very much bound up in this cycle of trying not to experience the unpleasant. And of course, that becomes the substance that used to be pleasant becomes a trap with lots and lots of craving and lots of suffering, because craving by its nature can't be satisfied by more of the same. So it's a very interesting and fruitful inquiry. You know, the teaching understanding is that with every sense contact, there arises vedana, this feeling tone. But sometimes it's certainly not clear or strong or predominant as part of what we experience. So it's not like you have to go like looking for every arising of vedana in every mind moment. That'd be crazy. But when you have an experience of vedana that's visible and strong, it could be interesting to name that and note that and then see what happens next. See what the mind does next in relationship to a strong experience of vedana. See if you can, in other words, to see if you can be mindfully along for the ride that then happens in response to that initial visible arising of strong vedana. So it's really fruitful, because it's not inherently true that for us as humans, we have to go into craving in relationship to pleasantness, or into aversion in relationship to unpleasantness. And given that craving and aversion are both suffering states, and given that we don't control the arising of vedana, it's pretty good news to know that we are not doomed to go into suffering in relationship to either one of those, just in the same way that we're not doomed to go into disconnection and delusion in relationship to neutral vedana. So this training of heart and mind that we're doing here has a lot to do with coming to that realization that how the mind relates to and handles in a certain kind of way. Its arising experience determines whether we suffer or not. So this is all part of your immersion experiential learning. So happy Vedana trails to you. Okay.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.